जयो यशोदा नंदना जयो ब्रज जनरंजना यशोदा नंदना यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी जयो गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जयो राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी
जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत श्री श्रीमदी डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत श्री श्रीमदी डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद महाराज की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की हिताई गौर प्रेमनंदे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 4th canto 11th chapter entitled Swayambhu Manu advises Dhruv Maharaj text 27 tameva mrityum amritam tata devam sarvaatmano pehi jagat parayanam yasmai balim vishvasrijo haranti गावो यता वै न सिदामयन्त्रिता तमेव मृत्युम् अमृतं तात दैवम् सर्वात्मनोपेहि जगत्परायणम् यस्मै बलिं विश्वसृजो हरन्ति गावो यता वै न सिदामयन्त्रिता तमेव मृत्युम् अमृतं तात दैवम् सर्वात्मनोपेहि जगत्परायणम् यस्मै बलिं विश्वसृजो हरन्ति गावो यता वै न सिदामयन्त्रिताः
तमेव मृत्युम् अमृतं तात सर्वात्मनोपेहि जगत्परायणम्
यस्मै बलिं विश्वसृजो हरन्ति
यस्मै बलिं विश्वसृजो हरन्ति
गावो यथा वै न सिदामयन्त्रिता
गावो यथा वै न सिदामयन्त्रिता जगत्परायणम्
यस्मै बलिं विश्वसृजो हरन्ति
यस्मै बलिं विश्वसृजो हरन्ति
गावो यथा वै न सिदामयन्त्रितः
गावो यथा वै न सिदामयन्त्रितः
मृत्युम् अमृतात् दैवम् सर्वात्मनोपेहि जगत्परायणम् यस्मै बलिं विश्वसृजो हरन्ति गावो यथा वै न सिदाम माताजीस् word to word translation tam onto him eva certainly mrityum death amritam immortality tata my dear son daivam the supreme sarvatmana in all respects upehi surrender jagat of the world parayanam ultimate goal Yasmei, unto whom Balim, offerings, Vishwasrajah, all the demigods like Brahma, Haranti, bear, Gavah, bulls, Yata, as Vai, without fail, Nasi, in the nose, Dama, by a rope, Yantritah, controlled. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Translation. My dear boy Dhruva, please surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate goal of the progress of the world. Everyone, including the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, is working under His control, just as a bull prompt by a rope in the nose, in its nose, is controlled by its owner. Purport. The material disease is to declare independence from the supreme controller. Factually, our material existence begins when we forget the supreme controller and wish to lord it over material nature. Everyone in the material world is trying his best to become the supreme controller, individually, nationally, socially, and in many other ways. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to stop fighting by his grandfather, who was concerned that Dhruva was adhering to a personal ambition to fight, to annihilate the whole race of Yakshas. In this verse, therefore, Swayambhuva Manu seeks to eradicate the last tinge of false ambition in Dhruva by explaining the position of the Supreme Controller. The words mrityum amritam, death and immortality, are significant. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I am ultimate death, who takes away everything from the demons. The demons' business is to continually struggle for existence as lords over material nature. The demons repeatedly meet death after death and create a network of involvement in the material world. The Lord is death for the demons, but for the devotees, He is Amrita, eternal life. Devotees who render continuous service to the Lord have already attained immortality. For whatever they are doing in this life, they will continue to do in the next. They will simply change their material bodies for spiritual bodies. Unlike the demons, they no longer have to change material bodies. The Lord, therefore, is simultaneously death and immortality. He is death for the demons and immortality for devotees. He is the ultimate goal for everyone, because he is the cause of all causes. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to surrender unto him in all respects without keeping any personal ambition. One may put forward the argument, why are the demigods worshipped? The answer is given here, that demigods are worshipped by less intelligent men. The demigods themselves accept sacrifices for the ultimate satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanyebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we welcome all devotees for today's morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class. I'd like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees. So we are reading the section of where Swayambhuva Manu now advises Dhruva Maharaj to give up his anger, give up his Ati Rosh that he was mentioned before, that he was overcome with excessive anger and stop killing the Yakshas. So in his attempt to convey to Dhruva Maharaj that his action is unwarranted, Swayambhuva Manu here speaks about how the Lord is the supreme controller. He says that everything has happened, that everything is happening, and that everything will happen ultimately rests within the hands and the control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, from this verse, after having explained the position of the Lord, Swayambhuva Manu now says, please therefore surrender unto him. Therefore, our only duty is to surrender unto the Lord wholeheartedly, like this verse mentions, Sarvatmana, and become an instrument of the Lord. So, similarly in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna tells to Arjun, like, you know, all these people assembled in the battlefield, they've already been slain by me. So therefore, just do your duty, surrender unto me, and act according to my will. Nimitta matrena bhavya savya sachin. Just become an instrument. So we'll see this sloka, it's a very beautiful sloka. Tameva mrityum amritam tata daivam. O tata, O my dear child, just understand, tameva, certainly he, that Lord, is mrityum and amritam. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur, in his translation, he says that he is the Lord of birth and death. Prabhupada also mentions in the purport. Right? For devotees, he is the amritam, he is the life-giving nectar. And for non-devotees, those who don't surrender to Krishna, he is that cruel hand of death. One side of Lord and the other side of Lord. For those who don't surrender. So tameva mrityum amritam tata daivam. So therefore, he is the source of both birth and death. Then what should one do? Sarvatmano upehi. Surrender unto him. One should actually full-heartedly, sarvatmana, with one's own wholeheartedly surrender unto that Supreme Lord. And he is Jagat Parayanam. So this Jagat Parayanam is interesting because one, when you say surrender, sarvatmana upehi, so surrender is a very heavy word, isn't it? Vishnu Chakra Thakur, in his purport to this verse, he writes that Dhruva Maharaj is thinking, I have been enlightened by you, my dear grandfather. I understand the position of the Lord. I understand the position of myself. I've been enlightened by you. But I cannot give up my false ego. So then Chakravarti Pat says that Swayambhu Manu replies, yeah, it's not easy. You surrender unto him, surrender unto the Supreme Lord. Because without surrender, it is difficult to give up ego, false ego, by jnana alone. Just by knowledge alone, it is not possible to give up false ego. You have to surrender. So there's a theory, there's a practical. Theoretically, one may understand Krishna is supreme, we are infinitesimal, and that we are ultimately parts and parcel of Krishna. But just knowing that alone will not create surrender. So here, Dhruva Maharaj is struggling with his false ego. He's saying that, yeah, I understand everything that you spoke, fact, but still my false ego is coming in between. So Swayambhuva Manu says, bas ho gaya, how much tattva will I give you? How much understanding about this nature, about the Lord I will give you? Now, from this to the next, in the next four verses, Swayambhuva Manu will just tell him, please surrender. So in the next verses, we'll see tomorrow and day after, we'll see how Swayambhuva Manu will tell him that, don't forget that you had surrendered before. When you were 5 years old, you had already surrendered before. And there you achieved the Lord. So that same surrender you apply now. Why did you forget? So from here we learn that surrender is not a one-time thing. Bas ek bar surrender ho gaya, diksha le liya. Right? Those days, at least in the early times, diksha means, you know, for a prabhu, it's like common, you have to shave your head. Shave your head and take initiation. But nowadays, there are so many clauses. Oh, I'm a working person, I'm a student, difficult to shave head. Right? But still in some areas like in West Bengal and Orissa, if they were to take diksha, whoever, a family man also, they would shave the head. Because shaving the head itself is a big thing. Right? If you have to go to work, you have to go somewhere, you consider, no? Should I shave? Should I not shave? So whether even if a person is not a brahmachari, not a sannyasi, even as a householder, when he takes initiation, he shaves his head. So he says that surrender, without surrender, it's very difficult to give up false ego. Then he says that don't worry, the Lord is Jagat Parayanam. So Jagat Parayana is an interesting word. In Bhagavatam, we come across words like Vasudeva Parayana, Narayana Parayana. So these all mean that a devotee is dedicated or devoted to the cause of Narayan. Dedicated or devoted towards Lord Vishnu. Devotees are known as Narayana Parayana, Vasudeva Parayana. But here the Lord has also a Parayana name. He is also called Jagat Parayana. Chaitanya Charitamrita, they say the materialists are known as what Parayana? Shishodara Parayana. They are dedicated to the belly and genitals. They are also dedicated. So in this world, everybody is dedicated. Even the Lord is dedicated. He is called as Jagat Parayanam. But who is he dedicated to? Jagat. The people of this world. So the Lord is dedicated here, devoted to the devotees of this world. He's devoted to the cause of freeing the devotees from this world. Freeing the jivas from this world. He's known as Jagat Parayanam. Don't worry. He won't betray you. Because surrender means there's a fear. Right? Like yesterday I was discussing with, we were just taking darshan of Madan Mohan. And I and Anand Nimayapuru was doing parikram. And then we saw the neighboring field. So some local villagers were herding, goat. Right? So then I just thought that, my God, you know, all these goats are going to end up on somebody's plate. So unfortunate, no? Then he's saying, yeah, well, what to do, you know? What is the function of a goat then? I said, Baba, don't say it like that. So then I said, do you remember in fifth canto, there's a hellish planet, right? For someone who gives protection to animals, but later cuts them. You know the special, remember? I said, he said, yeah. So you were looking up that verse and all. There's a special dedicated parayana, hell, for those who give shelter to animals and then later sells them or cuts them. Why? Because it's the highest act of betrayal or cruelty to give shelter and then later to betray that shelter. So that is in a very gross physical way. But as devotees also, we also, you know, we are living in a community of devotees. Every devotee has some feeling that we are able to, we are always there for them. At least, we cannot say we're giving shelter to everyone, but we're always there for them. And our acts, our activities may sometimes betray that trust. We may betray that trust. It may be something as simple as, koi laddu baatne wale, तो लेट लास्ट में आया, अरे मेरे लिए नहीं रखा. दैट स्मॉल एक्ट कुड फील अ एक्ट ऑफ बिट्रेयल ऑल्सो. सो इट्स नॉट एक्सपेक्टेड बट इट इज देयर, राइट. सो जगत परायणम ही सेज लाइक दैट, यस्मै ऑन टू हिम बलिम ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ ऑफरिंग बाय हु हरंती, हु इज ऑफरिंग ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ ऑफरिंग, द विश्वश्रज ब्रह्मा इत्यादि. सो द ग्रेटेस्ट डेमिगॉड ब्रह्मा, ही हिमसेल्फ इज ऑफरिंग ऑल ऑफरिंग्स ऑन टू कृष्णा. सो फॉलो द फुटस्टेप्स ऑफ योर ग्रेट ग्रैंड फादर. योर ग्रैंड फादर इज टेलिंग, ग्रेट ग्रैंड फादर इज ऑल्सो डूइंग द सेम थिंग. स्वयंभू मनु सेइंग माई फादर इज डिड द सेम थिंग. देन दिस ब्यूटिफुल एनालॉजी कम्स, गावो यता, जस्ट लाइक अ काउ और बुल, वै नसी दाम यंत्रित. हाउ इज कंट्रोल? बाय अ रोप गोइंग थ्रू द नोज. So across Bhagavadam, this analogy comes five times. Five times it comes across Bhagavadam. How? When we discuss about the Lord, or when we discuss about the Jiva, okay? For example, we discuss about the Jiva. So they say that the Jiva should be sense-controlled. So what are the kind of analogies they use? Like tortoise, you should control the senses. Or like a rider driving the chariot, horses, he pulls the reins. So he should control. Self-control for a Jiva, these kind of analogies are used in. And for the all-knowing power of the Lord, what kind of analogies are given? Spider, right? He creates the web and he winds up. So similarly, the Lord knows every nook and corner of the creation and he winds up. What are the analogies? Water reservoir. He is the source of everything. Everything comes back to him. So these kind of analogies are given to describe the Lord. But when it comes between the relationship between the Lord and Jiva, right? Sun and sunshine, these kind of analogies are given. But then when they want to show the subordinate position of the Lord and the Jiva, then this analogy is very fitting. How whatever the Jiva tries to do, ultimately the string is in the hand of the Supreme Lord. So then this analogy of how you control a bull, which is very difficult to control, just by the rope going through its nose. Okay? So in GV, this is a very difficult example. We use a holder, holster, what they call? Dharma, nasi. We'll see other, in the nose. So, we'll see in purport. So, we'll see other analogies that I mentioned. So, the first, this comes in the third canto, 15th chapter. So, when the demigods were fearful of Diti's pregnancy, and they was creating darkness all around, so the demigods then prayed to Brahma, that, yasya vacha, Praja Sarva Gavas Tanteva Yantrita. So he says that everyone ultimately in this world is controlled by that vacha. Which vacha is that? That words of the Vedas. No one can go against the word of the Vedas. Everyone is bound. Praja Sarva. Everyone is bound by the words of the Vedas. Just like a cow or a bull is bound or controlled by Tantya, means a rope. So this is a famous verse where in the purport, Prabhupada writes that sense gratification is like salt. That you can't do without it, but you can't take too much also. So say sense gratification is like salt. Namak jaisa jitna zaruri hai, utna. So for a devotee, even his sense gratification in a sense, is dependent on the Supreme Lord. What the Lord provides, what the Lord doesn't provide, the devotee is dependent on the Supreme Lord. Then that is in the third canto. So the same analogy again comes in the fifth canto when Lord Brahma advised Priyavrat. So Priyavrat had taken sannyas. He didn't want to enter into material affairs. Then Brahma comes to him, my dear son, please take up the management again. So he says, Prota Nasheva Dvipade Chatuspada. He says, just like a two-legged person controls a four-legged person. This itself is, you know, four-legged seems already powerful. Two-legged is less powerful, but the two-legged can control the four-legged. How? Because simple, by we are bound by Vedic injunctions and we must do our duties, just like a bull moves in accordance to the driver who pulls the rope tied to their noses. So because it is bound at the nose, so when the driver pulls the rope, the bull also follows. Although the bull is a very powerful creature. So here, Brahma may be very amazing, powerful, Priyavrata may be powerful, but all of them are utterly bound to the words of the Vedas, the Supreme Lord. So third canto, and now here fourth canto, fifth canto, All this energy comes each in one canto. Now, sixth canto also comes. So, when the Yamadutas, after being defeated by the Vishnu Dutas, they are confused as to who the Supreme is. So, they go back to Yamaraj and they ask, "My dear Master, we thought you to be Supreme." So, Yamaraj then will reply in the first verse itself. He'll say that he corrects his servants and he says that ultimately it is that Supreme Lord who controls everyone, just like a bull is controlled by the rope. So, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, Yamaraj, he immediately says that yes, there is only one Supreme Controller above everything. Because Yamaraj himself is a great controller, but he is only in charge of living entities. In the sense that living entities who are human beings, because they only do karma and vikarma. So he is in charge, but he is only in charge of human beings. Whereas the Supreme Lord is control of all the chara and achara, even the animals. So for Yamaraj, animals are not under his control. Like that Prabhupada writes in the purport. Animals are not under his control because they don't do karma, they don't do vikarma, bad activities, they don't have that karma account. So Yamaraj doesn't have that domain like that. And then we go to the 11th canto where when Lord Krishna now has completed his pastimes, so the demigods headed by Brahma, Shiva and all the devatas, they go to Dwarka, the kingdom of Krishna, to submit a petition to Krishna. What petition they want to submit? That, "My dear Lord, now please return to your abode." So in that submitting that petition, the demigods, they offer a prayer, and it's a very amazing prayer. They say that in this material world, everyone is struggling with each other due to the influence of time. There's a great struggle in this material world because of the influence of time. There's a great struggle. And under the power of that time, everybody is dragged like a rope tied to a pierced nose of a bull. So, in the purport, Prabhupada writes that this example, this analogy given is very appropriate to show the controlling power of Krishna. Although the bull is very extremely powerful, Prabhupada writes, he is easily controlled by a slight tug on the rope strung through his pierced nose. Similarly, even the most powerful politicians, scholars, demigods, etc. may immediately be put into an unbearable situation by the omnipotent personality of Godhead. Therefore, the demigods have not come to Dwaraka to proudly display their universal political and intellectual powers, but to humbly surrender at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. So once, when we were studying this in Vidyapita, I asked our Radha Madan Gopal Bhu, "Why is it so like that, you know, we never worked with bulls?" He said that bulls have, although they're very strong and powerful, but this part is very sensitive, the nose. So even if you touch, if you tug, they'll immediately submit. So you can control big, huge creatures just as a tug. So then I was thinking that even in other cultures, right, other cultures outside of India, like in Spain and other places where they deal with bulls, every one of them have a bull ring. A bull ring is what is called, is they put through the nose. So apparently, for such a powerful animal, that position of the body is very sensitive. So then I was thinking, what about human body? Human body, everybody is, every part is sensitive. One time Radhesham Prabhu was saying that we are a body of pain. That even if your whole body, if a small finger gets bent or broken or hurt, entire consciousness goes there. So a bull may be very powerful, but have a small sensitive part. But for a human, the whole part is very painful. From the small toe to the small finger, everything is has a possibility of giving pain and trouble. So like this, Swayambhuva Manu is advising Dhruva to surrender. That ultimately we should realize that we are not beyond the control of the Lord. Gavo, we are all like bulls. However, a bull thing is very powerful. Right, but the slight tug of the Lord's vacha, the Lord's words, by the Vedas, by karma, by the laws of nature, he has to submit. Like Prabhupada writes, even a big politician, but suddenly if he's overcome by cancer, or anything can happen, he immediately has to submit. So this, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, the material disease is to declare independence from the Supreme Controller. Now, this is a term that Prabhupada uses often, material disease, Bhavarog. The material disease is this, the material disease is that. And across Bhagavatam, we saw from first canto also, that Prabhupada gives definition to all kinds of disease. He says, one place, material disease is malice, envy. He gives the example of Mayavadis. Then in the next chapter of the first canto, Prabhupada writes, material disease is fruitive work. And he gives the example of Karmis. They're all diseased. So like that, there's so many diseased people. Like that, Prabhupada gives so many definitions. But the main idea, another purport Prabhupada says, Shoka, Moha and Bhaya are the primary symptoms of material disease. He writes like that. So if we see, why does the jiva doesn't want to be controlled? So the jiva being part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna is the supreme Ishwara, and the jiva also has some Ishwara bhav tendencies, that he also wants to have some controlling tendency. And in fact, even if we come within devotee circles, right, it is very difficult to give up that controlling proprietorship, that controlling potency. This is known as the CEO mentality. Everyone wants to be a CEO, a controller, an enjoyer, and an owner, proprietor. So even if a person is in the most incapable position physically, for example, if someone is bedridden in a hospital and he has tubes in his body, he might have a saline tube coming through his veins and a urine tube coming out of his body, right? But still, in that position also, the nurse gives him a remote control which he can adjust the bed and he feels that I'm okay, I still have some control. Or he may have the big red button where he press and one light comes on and doctors and nurses run to him. He feels that I'm still in control. Because to be incapacitated is a very fearful condition for the jiva. And actually, it is not a possible condition of a jiva to be incapacitated. Kuch nahi kar sakte. I cannot do anything. My hands are tied behind my back. So understanding this, the Lord says, that how to maintain our, or how to understand our Ishwara Bhav. The main independence that we have is to surrender our independence, because that also requires independence. To willingly surrender our dependence onto the hands of the Supreme Lord requires independence. So that is the way we execute our independence. Not in trying to compete with the Lord, but trying to cooperate with the Lord. So for the jiva to willingly take his independence and surrender onto the hands of the Lord is an exhibition or the highest purified form of his Ishwara Bhav. Because everyone has a controlling tendency. So how do you control? You submit your control. That itself requires control. Okay. So then Krishna, Prabhupada goes on to explain that factually our material existence begins when we forget the supreme controller and wish to lord it over material nature. So everyone in the material world is trying to become the supreme controller individually, nationally, socially and so many other ways. Right? So 2 days ago when Gaurang Prabhu was giving the class, he was saying, the Lord shows in this pastime that the nature of material world, the nature of material creation is that everyone is controlled. The jiva is controlled. And similarly, the Lord is also controlled. So even Krishna, the supreme controller, he is also controlled in some aspects. So in some pastimes of Krishna, we see very explicitly, Krishna is in control. For example, in the Mathura pastimes, when Krishna goes to Mathura and he kills Kuvalaya Peed, and he kills Chanura Mushtika, and he kills Kamsa, it appears that Krishna knows what he's doing. He knows where he's going. He is in full control of the pastime. So Krishna's control, Krishna's omnipotency, Krishna's power is seen very explicitly in that pastime. But there are some pastimes where Krishna's control or power is only seen partially. For example, like in Damodara Leela, we see Krishna crying, Krishna unable to do anything, then Krishna running. So it seems that Krishna is powerless. But then the verse comes and say, Kripaya asit swabandhane. That out of feeling merciful, he himself tie himself. That shows that Krishna still is in control. So partially we see some that Krishna appeared losing control, But then actually Krishna is in control, right? Even the Kalia episode, when all the friends are helpless, then Krishna seems like, you know, nothing can do it. Then Krishna shows that, yes, I can do it. Then he jumps in the water and he plays at Kalia. Oh, he's in control. He's in control. So some pastimes we see very explicitly Krishna in control. Some pastimes we see very partially Krishna is in control. But there are some pastimes where we doubt whether Krishna is in control or not. For example, the Shamantaka Mani. So here is Krishna in Dwarka being the king. And when Satrajit comes and Krishna tells him, I think you better surrender the jewel. Satrajit denies. He doesn't follow. Sorry, Baba, Bhagavan bol rahe and he's not listening. So Krishna is in control or not? He doesn't listen, he does his own thing. And then later, Krishna gets blasphemy. People are doubting Krishna. First of all, no one listens to God in this pastime. Secondly, people start doubting Krishna. And then Krishna has to run around to prove himself that he is innocent. So one starts to think that how Krishna is exhibiting his control here. Why is he doing so much of kasht? Why is he doing so much of kasarat? Why is he doing so much of sangarsh? Just to prove himself. A jiva in this world, just to hold on to his control, has to do so much of gymnastics. For example, a materialist in household life, he tries to control his children, he tries to control his wife, he tries to control his friends, he tries to control his society. And in that way, he has to work very hard. Why? If I don't have job, children say, what kind of father is this? He loses his respect. So the fear of losing the respect, fear of losing the control over the children, the father may have to work hard. Fear that my wife will no longer love me, she will no longer respect me, he has to work very hard. So there's a huge fear of losing control. Even in workplace, if everyone starts to come and work on a Sunday, slowly we used to think that maybe I also should come. Because everyone is working on a Sunday, I'm missing out on something. So there's a big fear of in the world, where a person has to do so much gymnastics and run around just to stay in control. And here's Krishna in Shamantaka Mani doing so much of apparently gymnastics just to maintain, apparently. But of course, Krishna had a higher or a secret goal. He went around so that he could get married. Isn't it? Jambavati and Satyabhama. So that was Krishna's thing. Indirectly, he also got married. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned how the Lord is the supreme controller. Beautiful verse that comes. Ekala Ishwara Krishna Ara Sabhavritya Yare Yai Chena Chaye Se Tai Che Kare Nirtya. So Krishna is the supreme Ishwara, the supreme Lord, and everyone else is his servants. And just as how the Lord pulls the strings, a person dances accordingly. So this actually shows how we should act. That when the Lord desires, that is how we should react. So this is actually surrender. That we realize our incapable position. And like Gaurang Prabhu was mentioning 2 days ago, moment to moment, situation to situation, we can see or we try to see how the Lord is actually guiding me towards Him. Okay, so in that sense, we are cooperating with the Lord's desire and not trying to compete with it. So in this verse, therefore, Prabhupada continues, Swayambhu Manu is trying to eradicate the last tinge of the false ambition of Dhruva in thinking that he is the supreme controller. Okay, so the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, I am ultimate death who takes away everything from the demons. Mrityu sarvaharas chaham. Ultimately, the Lord has the final say. So, I was sharing with Vidyapeeth students. So when I went to Jaipur, and we saw the big, beautiful palaces of the kings, right? Oh, wonderful, so amazing. Suddenly, I was thinking, you know, we went to one place, Hawa Mahal, right? That is where all the queens used to stay. So, so many queens, and Jai Shishi, Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki, where all the queens used to stay. Queens, princesses, queens ka assistant, jo bhi, all ladies. So, and this is the area where no men are allowed, or no royals are allowed, besides the king and the king's royal family. And there's a huge building with millions and millions, or hundreds and hundreds of small, small windows, of which the ladies used to peek and see the road, the street. So then he remembers like some Dwarka episode or Hastinapur episode, no? 3, 4, 5 story buildings. And every story, there's like hundreds and hundreds of small windows where probably one eye can go. Small windows. Like that, the whole area was. And rooms and all this, that area. Now there's nothing there. So suddenly I start thinking that, my God, just see the king who built all this, and just imagine all those princesses and queens at that time who were roaming around the courtyards, probably never thinking that one day in the future, so many tourists will come to see my bedroom. So many tourists will come to see where we sit down, where we talk. At that time, you know, people are moving around. So just see the inconceivable power of time. Immediately there's a feeling of insignificance. Who are we? What we are doing? Everyone tries to make a mark in life. If you go to any tourist famous spot, everyone writes secretly their name. And they carve their name. Right? If they are alone. If they are not alone, they write their partner's name also. They write as if they'll remain there forever. Thinking that if I write my name on stone, I will remain there forever. Stone will remain. Name will remain. We will change. So therefore, the biggest illusion that we are trying to hide or trying not to feel is that I will always be in control and I will always remain. So therefore, Prabhupada is here writing that the demon's business is to continually struggle for existence as lords over material nature. But they meet death again and again and they have to change body. But for a devotee, he experiences eternal life. So Prabhupada has given many times his analogy, like how a cat, if he carries his kitten in the same mouth, kitten doesn't feel pain. Whereas if he catches a rat, the cat is death. And for a kitten, that is the beloved mother. Why? The kitten has taken shelter of the cat. So similarly, when the jiva takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna is not a scary person who's going to stop my life, who's going to block my independence, who's going to take away my control. But Krishna is that all-loving, sweet, all-empowering great master. So therefore, Gaurang Prabhu is very nicely thinking, we have an option. Either we surrender to the moods of bhakti, right? Or we have to surrender to the modes of bhakti, or the modes of material nature. So we have two options in life. So Prabhupada writes, in the purport, that devotees who render continuous service to the Lord, they have already achieved immortality. They have already attained immortality. Okay? Because they are simply doing what they will continue to do in the next life. What they are doing in this life, they will continue to do in the next life. So in this section, in Prithu Maharaj section of the fourth canto, Prabhupada writes an interesting purport about this. He says, there are two ways in which a devotee achieves Amritam, or eternal life. Two ways in which a devotee is immortal. Two ways in which a devotee is everlasting. He says, one, although one's duration of life is limited by years, everyone has some expiry date, which we cannot see. If by chance one becomes a devotee, if by chance a person takes up to the path of bhakti, he surpasses the duration of his prescribed life. Prabhupada writes that what was prescribed to him under the laws of karma, he comes beyond it. He may come less than it also, doesn't matter. That means he no longer follows his expiry date. Right, he no longer follows his expiry date. Sometimes when you buy some bread or something, they'll say expire in 2 days. Then if you put in the fridge, maybe it can last for 3 days. It's some artificial project experience. If you put in the fridge, it probably can last till 3 days or 4 days before it expires. So you have extended the expiry date. How? By some other means. So similarly, Prabhupada is writing that if a devotee takes up to bhakti, he does not follow the expiry date of karma. So some yogis die according to their wish. Swachanda mrityu. But not according to the laws of nature. So similarly, a devotee also may surpass. Again, he may come beyond his duration, prescribed duration, or he may be less also. That also we have to bear in mind. Then that is the first way how a devotee achieves liberation or eternal life. Second way, Prabhupada writes, is another feature of a devotee is that he lives forever because of his infallible devotion to the Lord. Then he says, Kirtir yasya cha jivati. Kirtir yasya cha jivati. So one who leaves a good reputation behind him lives forever. Specifically, one who is reputed as a devotee undoubtedly lives forever. Like His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. 10,000 years also, and maybe even after, Srila Prabhupada will always be known in this very material world. So when Ramananda Rai was discussing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asks that what is the greatest reputation? What is the greatest kirti? Greatest fame? Greatest person to be renowned? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Ramananda Rai, and then Ramananda Rai replies that to be known as a devotee, to be reputed as a devotee, is the greatest reputation for anyone. Okay, so in that way, the devotee always lives forever. So living forever is like what Jiva Mukta says, a Jivan Mukta. Jiva Mukta is one who surrenders. Iha yasya harir dasye karmana manasa gira. His body, minds and words are engaged in the service of the Lord. In that way, the devotee lives forever. Okay. So, finally, we'll just discuss some significance of surrender. So, this word prapadyante and surrender, sharanam, these are all words that are used to show that a devotee has to give up something and approach someone. So, like Nimaila Prabhu was discussing yesterday, when the source of our solace is also the source of our misery or the problem, then we are in definitely a very hopeless position. Yeah, he was explaining like people from other religions or people from other paths, they see God to be the source of all problems. But at the same time, when they are suffering, they realize that suffering is also coming from God. So that very same God who is the living Father is also giving me suffering. When they see this and they experience this, they become atheistic. Or they deny that maybe the Lord is not so great. So then, when we realize that the Lord's feature, material feature, has time and, you know, His energies in the material modes, and because of our turning away from the Lord, and that is the reason why we suffer, and not the Lord Himself, not because of the personal form of the Lord, then we can surrender. So, in one purport, Prabhupada writes that unless the Lord is superior to the individual soul, there is no question of surrender. So Prabhupada hints that immediately when scriptures say that the jiva must surrender, that itself shows that the jiva and the paramatma, the jivatma and the paramatma cannot be one, because you cannot surrender to yourself. Surrender indicates a secondary person. Surrender indicates a secondary person. So therefore, automatically, when the word surrender, sharanam, comes, one understands that the jivatma has to take shelter of the paramatma. Like that. So therefore, the Lord and the jiva is not equal. There's no question. But for us, how is surrender then possible? So, like Dhruva Maharaj has understood the position of Krishna, but he himself is saying, like Chakravarti Pat mentions, that jnana alone is not enough. Just knowing that the Lord is supreme, that I am supposed to surrender to Krishna, by jnana alone, it is not enough to give up the false ego. One should actually put it into action. One should actually practice surrender. So one element that helps in surrender is that when one realizes that the best mercy that one can get is ultimately in the form of or coming from Krishna. So in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Matsya Avatar appears before Satyavrat Raja, so Satyavrat Raja gives one Guru Astakam prayers. He glorifies Guru in some 8 verses. He glorifies the spiritual master Guru. So in one verse he says, Nayat prasadha yuta bhagalesham anye cha deva guravo jana swayam kartum sameta prabhavanti pumsas tamishwaram tvam sharanam prapadye. He says that anya cha deva guravo jana swayam. Even great personalities, other great personalities may come, and they may give some bhaga, they may give some opulence, they may give some mercy, prasada. But the prasada, the blessings, the mercy that Krishna can give, You cannot compare. It is ayuta, lesham. What other great personalities can give is probably only a fraction of what actually Krishna can give. So the best mercy, the ultimate mercy, the greatest mercy, Satyavrat Raja is saying, that is only attainable by Krishna. So understanding this fact that Krishna is the all-merciful personality, a devotee tries to increase his surrender. Another famous verse that comes, understanding the mercy of Krishna, Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigham saya paya yadapya sadvi lebe gatim datri uchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam prapadye. So one takes shelter, understanding that Krishna is unlimitedly merciful. So therefore, to understand the mercy of Krishna is one way, one stepping stone for us to actually take shelter. Of course, further, Bhaktivinoda Thakur then describes Shadanga Sharanagati, the six limbs of surrender, where practically he says that the first two of the limbs, Anukulyasya Sankalpam, Pratikulyasya Varjanam, is within our hand, where we can choose to do what is favorable for Krishna, and we can choose to refrain from what is not pleasing to Krishna. And this is actually the initial part of surrender. And probably for most of us, most of our lives go in these two only. Just following Anukulya and avoiding Pratikul. Our whole lives probably just go in this. But this itself is a symptom of surrender, or trying to become surrendered. But some people may feel that the process to be painful, but if we always remember ourselves and remind ourselves how the Lord is supremely merciful, right? Then it won't be a painful process. So therefore, in the next verse, Swayambhuva Manu will remind Dhruva, Are 5 years old, aapne usko prapt kiya. You have already achieved it when you were 5 years old. Don't think that now I'm asking you to surrender, it's something difficult. You have already done it before. Just remember that good fortune. Remember, the Lord was always there. He is the most merciful personality. Therefore, now you surrender. So, Narahari Sarkar Thakur, in one prayer, Sachinanda Astakam, after glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the most munificent incarnation, Namo Mahavadanyaya, and after glorifying so much, after 8 verses, he's thinking, my God, after having spoken so much, someone who reads this Astakam, Sachinanda Astakam, would have to immediately take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's so amazing, so merciful. Right? When you see someone is so merciful, everyone runs to him, isn't it? Yesterday we were discussing about some personality who gives out her mercy by hugging people. Right? So seeing this, thousands of people would come. I remember when I was in university, this personality had come to our country in Malaysia. So literally 4, 5, 10 universities organized buses for all students of Hindu religion to go to see her. There were thousands of people gathered just to get the embrace. So when someone is so magnanimously merciful, people are like waiting, right? We go anywhere, so people are always waiting for Ashirwad. Pravachan, no one will come. Kirtan, depends, right? Depends. But Ashirwad, one whole line will be there, right? If you start to just give blessings. So Narahari Sarkar Thakur, when he sees this, he says that, having described Lord Chaitanya, his mercy, people should run to Lord Chaitanya. But what happens to those who don't? Then he thought, in Kali Yuga, even though you give free mercy, no one is going to come. People are so dull. So therefore, he says a last closing remark. He says a very enlightening verse. He says, Krishno Devah Kali Yuga Bhavam Lokam Alokya Sarvam. Krishna Devah, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Krishna Devaha, Kali Yuga Bhava Lokam. He sees the people in this world, Alokya. Having seen these people in this world, that Krishna, who's a Supreme Deva, what he sees? Lokam Sarvam Papa Saktam. What are they attached to? Papa, sin. Krishna Deva Kali Yuga Bhavam Lokam Alokya Sarvam Papa Saktam Samajani Kripa Sindhu Chaitanya Murti. that Supreme Personality of Krishna, when he sees the people of this world attached, struggling, stuck to committing sinful activities, that Supreme Lord, who is a Kripa Sindhu, ocean of mercy, he manifests as Chaitanya Murti. He comes as Lord Chaitanya. Simple, that's it. But then he says, no. Still, having come as Lord Chaitanya, if people don't take shelter, what will happen to them? Yasmin yesham na bhavati. But those who do not become, Bapre, is the closing remark. So Narasakar Thakur is saying, yasmin tesham na bhavati. But for those who do not become, sada krishna buddhir naranam. For those who do not become always Krishna conscious. Yasmin tesham na bhavati sada krishna buddhir naranam. They do not become Krishna conscious persons. But unto those, after having understand that Kripa Sindhu Krishna has now come as Chaitanya Murti, if they do not take to Krishna consciousness, they do not become Krishna consciousness, then he says, Digatan, Digatan, Digiti, Digiti, Vyaharet Kimmirdanga. So in Sanskrit language, Dig means useless fellow. Fie unto him. Useless person, Digatan. So he says, Digatan, Digatan, Digiti, Digiti, Vyaharet Kimmirdanga. The Mirdanga is actually cursing such persons. So in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan party goes out, and the devotees are playing, and the mridanga is digitan, digitan, digiti, digiti. These words for the devotees are glory. But such people who just fold their arms and see kirtan, bahut acha hai, nachre acha hai. But they do not participate. Narasakar Thakur is saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give what can be experienced in the Ras Leela, the highest ecstasy, through the medium of Harinam. Yet still people do not want to take it. So for them, the devotees won't say anything. But Balram, that Mridanga, he is going Digatan, Digatan, Digiti, Digiti. Vyaharet Kim Mridangai. What else would the Mridanga say? So like that he ends. Jai Granthra Srimad Bhagavadam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki.